I wonder if as we begin this morning's message, I want you to keep in mind the battle for the mind that we talked about last week, and the tools that we saw provided for us to stand firm in the victory that we have in our battle for the mind, meaning prayer, scripture, and obedience to Christ, right? So keep those in mind for the next couple of weeks at least, because today I want to talk about some of that, and I wonder if we realize, how often do we realize in the front of our mind, okay, that every part of our lives as believers, God intends to use to be part of your witness for the kingdom of God. That God intends for you to be the witness for those who are lost, to be the witness for other believers who need building up, to be the witness to bring glory to God in all situations, in all parts of your life. You ever think about it that way? It's not about, it's kind of surface level if we think of our witness, our personal witness, the going into the world and making disciples, the continuing on of the mission of the church. If we think of that as whenever there's an opportunity, we tell somebody about Jesus and that's all there is to it. Right? If that's all there was to it, things would be a lot different in our lives. The witness is how you live your life in Christ while you're in this world. How you celebrate the blessings and the great times, the mountaintops, and how you stand firm in the dark valleys that seem overwhelming and lonesome. All of it is part of our witness. All of it is part of who you are in Christ and what people see about God in you. You see. And if we're going to win the battle, stand in the victory of the battle for our minds that Christ has provided, then we must be in prayer and we must be in the Word and we must be obedient to Christ. So today, I want to look at the power of prayer. I want to look at not just the power of prayer, but if it's unleashed, how we can be victorious in our minds so that we can be victorious as we're about the Lord's business of making disciples in this world, carrying on the mission of the church. Because that's really what your responsibility is as a believer. That's what my responsibility is as a believer. That's what we're all here for. That's what we do. It doesn't matter if you're on vacation or if you're hard at work in your job or your business. It doesn't matter if you're working hard at your retirement. Right? God intends for people to see Him by the way we live our lives. That's making disciples. That's the mission. And sometimes we get to talk about Jesus, right? Sometimes we get to tell people the gospel. Sometimes we get to pray for people and lay hands on folks and be a blessing, right? And sometimes other believers get to do that for you. And if you're paying attention, you'll realize that it's at the right exact moment that you need it. If you're paying attention to what the Lord is doing, you'll realize that God is never clocked out and He's never on vacation. He's always involved. So that tells me that if we are the body of Christ, those of us who are believers, that we don't ever clock out. And we're never on vacation from being who we are in Christ, right? And I don't know, maybe some people around the world who are believers, genuine believers and love God, have it in their mind that there are times when you don't have to be the Christian. You don't have to be the witness, right? But I'm saying to you that I believe that God intends for us to be a witness for His kingdom, even when we're all by ourselves in the middle of nowhere. you see. Well, and you ask yourself, well, who are you witnessing to then? And I think we have to be a witness to our own selves at times. Because if anybody's going to pull me away from God, it's going to be me first. Does that make sense, y'all? If anybody's going to pull me, discourage me and knock me down more than any other person on the planet, it's going to be self. Self is the biggest threat. Right? So even and especially while I'm all by myself, or while you're all by yourself, if we're in Christ, we're not alone. And if we're in Christ, we should have fellowship with Him. I want to read a few points about this, the power of prayer unleashed, and how it fuels the mission of the body of Christ. Because your life and every part of it is part of the mission of the body of Christ. Whether you like it or not, it's part of it. Now, whether or not we're successful, whether or not we're doing well, is between you and the Lord, to be honest with you. Right? Whether or not Oak Grove is doing well is between us and the Lord as a family. Right? So the first thing we need to do is talk to God, because that's who we are. We're not just Christians, and we're not just people who believe. We are people who are saved by the blood of Christ. We're saved by the grace of God. And we have the Spirit of God who has taken up residence in our hearts. Christ exists in us. We don't exist anymore. Make sense? That's what salvation is all about. You surrender your old self, your sinful self. You die to yourself, and you're a new creation. You now live in Christ, or Christ lives in you. So how on earth can any of us live the Christian life and be the witness without prayer? All right, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to learn some things through Paul and his writings, little snapshots of things that he said in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 18 to 20. There we go. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right? So now look, before y'all go down this road, I'm going to try to warn you away from it. Let's try not to sit back and say, well, that was Paul. I'm not Paul. And I'm just going to go ahead and agree with you. You're not Paul. You are you. And you are in Christ, just like Paul was in Christ. All right? So do not separate yourself from what's going on here. All right? Because all he's saying is that prayer is not an afterthought. It's the constant atmosphere in which we stand firm in our faith. He just got done in this letter to the Ephesian church explaining to them what we call the full armor of God, right? Explaining to them their life in Christ and how they go about the business of making disciples. And why would they need a full armor? Something called a full armor of God is because we live in the same world where there's challenges and there's heartaches and there's problems and there's threats. And life happens. And the battle for the mind is real for them as it is for us. But we have Christ. We have Jesus. We have an open door to the throne of God because of the blood of Christ. And we are invited, according to the book of Hebrews, we're invited to go to the Father's throne and talk to Him anytime, anywhere, for any reason. Why would we neglect it? Why would we neglect any of that? He's basically saying, look, here's who we are in Christ. And by the way, pray for me so that when I open my mouth, words come out that tell people about the kingdom of God, that tell people about the grace of God, that tell people about the truth. And if you know anything about Paul, the Apostle Paul, his life was not cake and ice cream. He had it fairly good before he got saved, because he had some worldly authority. right? And some worldly respect. But he was lost in his sin until he got saved. And then it got bad. It got some dark valleys. It got some trouble. It got some situations and circumstances because of Jesus. Because of the message. Because of who he is in Christ. But yet here he is saying to the Ephesians, I'm praying for you to be active in the kingdom of God, to be active in your witness. But you pray for me so that I can continue to be the witness. So that whatever happens in my life, that people see that Christ is alive in me. Right? Prayer. The power of prayer is not just the words that we say. Right? Because we can just memorize Paul's words right here in Ephesians chapter 6 and just keep saying those over and over again. But if it's not what's in our heart, right? If it's not what's going on with our lives and our witness, then what do they mean? What power is there? See, Paul is lifting up these words. He's saying, lift me up in prayer and say prayers for me. Because your heart leads you to. Because the Spirit of God leads you to. You ever think about that in your prayer time? When you're at your house, or your home, or your work, or wherever your prayer closets are? And we all have our own personal prayer list that we pray about the same things until the Lord responds, right? Until we see the Lord. And then stuff gets added and stuff gets taken away. The same thing with the church prayer list that we have here. It's all important, isn't it? And we lift up our hearts to God about those things. But do we talk to God about the mission also? Do we say to God, these concerns of my heart, these worries in my mind, these things that are dark in my life, I turn them over to you so that I can continue to be the witness in the middle of it all. Even though my life is where it is, good or bad, I know you're using me to be a witness for someone else to know you. Even though I'm on top of the world because my life is great, don't let me forget that people need Jesus. Don't let me forget that the person I interact with in the next moment may or may not need some love that lives in me. Or even though I got challenges. Maybe there's some that come against me. And even though it's a stress in my life, give me what I need to be the witness even to them. Give me the words to say to be the witness even to them. Even though I'm at the lowest point in my life because of loss or because of heartache, keep it in my mind that I'm still your witness for your kingdom. I'm breathing your air because you allow it. Help me to glorify you. Do we talk to God this way? Do we pray about these things? Do we pray for each other in this way? When we look at each other on Sunday morning and we see the same faces that we have fellowship with in our worship time, and we leave and go about our business throughout the week, do we think about one another? Do we think about each other? Because we know where each other's lives are in general. We know who's hurting. We know who's in dark places. And we know who's doing great. And do we talk to God about those things and say, God, give them what they need to continue to be the witness, even though. When I go and visit folks at the hospital, and I pray over folks, that's what I pray for. I pray for healing. I pray for strength. I pray for courage. But I also pray that while they're there, they somehow can be a witness for the kingdom of God in the middle of their suffering. Right? Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Yeah, we can pray for the bills to get paid. We can pray for blessings in our life. We can pray for our loved ones to start acting right. Whatever your prayers are totally appropriate. As long as we tie them to the mission of being the witness. Because if it's not, then it's all about ourselves, isn't it? It's just God being our servant, and you know that's not the way it is. You know it's not the way it is. We are His servants, right? And if there's anything in my life that's distracting me from being His witness, I need to take it to Him and say, Lord, I need You to have this. I need You to know, I need to get rid of this so that I can be all about Your business, even while I'm stressed out about this. Because sometimes how you handle that stress or that loss or that anxiety or that trouble or even the celebration, how you handle it, is evidence as to whether or not you really have the Spirit of God in your life. It's fine. We hurt sometimes. We're stressed out sometimes. We sometimes even get upset or even angry. Right? Tell me you don't get angry. We all do from time to time. It's what we do and how we react to that is indication of how much we surrender to the Spirit of God in our life. Is our first reaction to talk to God about these things? Is our first reaction to praise God when we experience a blessing or when we have answered prayers and stress is relieved? Is it our first thing to talk to God when we walk away from an opportunity to tell somebody that Jesus loves them? Is it our first response? Our first response is to say, thank you, Lord. Praise Your name. Is it? It needs to be. That's the way it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what the Spirit of God is here for. That's what's going to produce a bold witness in your life. Not just a witness, a bold witness. A bold witness happens whether it's appropriate or not, right? When the world wants it or not, that's bold. Bold witness is loving people even when they don't want to be loved. A bold witness for the kingdom of God is praising God and living like Jesus is your Lord and Savior, even when you don't feel like it in that moment. And I've been in some dark places, the same as y'all. I've been in some lonely places, the same as y'all. And I remember having to tell myself, the Lord is with me. Even when I could not prove that to my own mind. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that I didn't believe in God. It's not that I doubted God. I just couldn't get my mind to understand the truth in that moment because of the darkness, you see. And as we travel through this life and those things happen, we get stronger and stronger, and our neighbors and friends start watching what you're doing and how you're living. And they start saying to themselves, I wonder what they have that I don't. I wonder how they get through things, because I can never get through stuff like that. Not without this worldly thing or that worldly thing or this worldly thing to solve the problem for them, which we all know does not solve problems. And if you don't know Jesus, if you're not saved, then who do you have to talk to but the world? Who do you have to bring it to but the world? Who can you call on for help? There's nobody else but Jesus. There's no one else. The one who died for us on the cross. The one who died for you, even though you were deep in your sin. He gave His life on the cross so that you could be saved. You could be with Him for eternity. Why wouldn't we talk to Him? Why wouldn't we cry out to Him? Why wouldn't He be the first person we call on and the last person we call on every day of our lives? And why wouldn't it be all about the mission? Every time we have prayer, together or individually, it should include and be all about how can we get the mission done. And I don't try not to understand that I'm saying we should be praying about the mission and nothing but the mission. I'm saying all of our prayer list, all of our life's concerns have to do with the mission. They're connected to the mission. And God wants us to give Him to Him and trust Him so that we can show the world who He really is. Let's go there. Check this out. So we're equipped to be bold witnesses. But in Colossians chapter 4, the letter to the Colossians, he says this in verse 2 and 4. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. That takes commitment, by the way. Devoting something. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. And once again, he's saying, like, all I want to do is talk about Jesus. And now, let me tell you something. He ain't in the smokehouse eating barbecue ribs every day, all day, writing these letters, enjoying his life. No, he's in prison. He's been arrested. He was almost killed several times. He was beaten and thrown out of town and left for dead. And he keeps saying, if you're going to talk to God about me, ask God to give me what I need to keep preaching the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? Devote yourselves continually to prayer. Right? And when I see that word devoted, it almost always brings to my mind the commitment that my wife and I made to each other in 1997. That we're going to be each other's spouse. I'm going to be her husband, and she's going to be my wife. And if you can see in my mind, there's like a gigantic period at the end of that. Nothing else. That's what's going to happen. And that's what's been happening. That's what devotion is. Right? It's not like I'm going to be her husband until I don't feel like it anymore. It's not like I'm going to be her husband until she don't feel like it anymore. Right? It's not like that at all. There's no option. There is never an option. So when the Colossian church is being told to devote themselves to prayer, it means make a commitment that prayer is going to be the main part of your life. Keeping alert. You know, when you're reading the Bible and it says things like keep alert or stay alert or be alert, a lot of times our minds take us to some urgent emergency situation, right? I don't know, maybe it's a guy thing, but whenever somebody tells me to be alert, I'm just like, okay. Like there's some threat, right? I mean, that's just a natural, I guess that's a guy's thought. Okay, well, all right, I'm ready. Bring it on. You know? But I think what Paul is trying to say here, when he's saying to them, devote yourself to prayer, he's saying, pay attention to the Spirit of God in your life. Be alert as to what he's leading you to do. Be aware of where you're going and what you're doing and what God is doing. Connect everything in your mind to the mission. How is this in my life? How is this event in my life? How does this tie to the mission? The mission of making disciples. I wonder how God is going to use this moment to make disciples. I wonder how God's going to use that situation or this heartache or this trouble to help me be a part of his mission. I know it's not easy all the time, right? Because the struggle is real. The heartaches are real. The stress is real. And it's overwhelming sometimes. And it's hard to get your mind to think of things other than what you're experiencing. But Paul's saying, be alert. Pay attention to the Spirit of God. He's there. He's going to give you what you need in that moment. So that in those moments, those hard moments, you're going to say to yourself, this is bad. This is terrible. This feels bad. It's overwhelming. I can't take it anymore. And you go on, and you're going to, and if you read the Psalms, they read out just like this. If you read the Psalms, they're like, oh, things are bad. Woe is me. How am I going to get out? But by the time the Psalm is over with, praise the Lord, because I know he's going to deliver. You're talking yourself away from that. You see, that's what we do. That's what prayer does if you're devoted to it. That's what talking to God does if you're devoted to it. And that's what, if your mind is set on the mission, if you know and I know that we exist in this world for the mission of making disciples, then our prayer life will lead us back to that mission every time. Every time. Right? And then when you go in to help your neighbor or your family member or your church family, and you go beside them when they're hurting, then you will have what they need to get us all back on the mission. Right? And when you get a group of people that are on mission and devoted to prayer like that, and the power of prayer is alive and well, then there's other people in the community who are saying, hey, that church over there has got something I need. And then they come and find out. They come looking. They're like, I don't know these people. They seem to love each other. They seem to know each other well. They go to God in prayer together. They talk to God about everything. And there's joy in their heart even in their sadness. There's joy in their heart even in their stress. There's joy in their heart even when things ain't right. You can see it. It's in you. It's alive in you. If we could ever get the truth of God's word past our minds into our hearts and let the Spirit of God have his way and then let it come back out of us past our mind again, you'd be amazed at how powerful the church would be. Don't you get it? It's the mind. We get our minds in the way sometimes, right? Because of what we feel like or what we think. I'm not telling you don't think. I'm not telling you don't educate yourself. I'm just saying get your mind in line with the Spirit of God in your life. Prayer unlocks divine opportunities, y'all. Every day I'm challenging y'all. I'm challenging myself. We need to be praying, Lord, whatever's going on in my life, whatever's going on in my life, every day, not only do I ask you to provide opportunities for me to be a blessing to someone else, to be a witness to somebody else, but help me see it and not miss it. And then give me the words. Give me the strength and the courage to do whatever it is I need to do in that opportunity. Whatever it is I need to do. And pray for each other that we would do the same thing. As we leave here after Sunday morning worship, and we all stand in the doorway and talk, because that's what church folks do. And then we finally get in our cars and go about our lives, praising God. My prayer is that God would show you opportunity after opportunity until we come back the next Sunday, should the Lord give us time. Not only to tell people about Jesus, not only to love people the way Jesus wants people to be loved, but for you to experience it and for you to take advantage of it. And I pray that would happen no matter what's if you're having a great day or a bad day. And I pray that we would all grow in that. Intentionally grow. That we go, even if you're just going to the store to get a gallon of milk, it would be a habit talking to God. Lord, as I'm walking across this parking lot, if there's somebody in here that you want me to impact, help me. Help me not miss it. And just know that you're impacting people one way or the other, no matter what you pray. The problem is you're missing out because you're not noticing it. God's working through you and you don't even notice it because you're not tuned in. You're not alert. You're not paying attention. And if you are, then you're noticing it. By the time you come back the next Sunday, you're going to say, I need to tell you what happened over at the Publix last week. I got to tell you what happened over at this gas station. I got to share with you what happened to these people one day when I was doing whatever. That's what happens when we're prayerfully seeking the Lord to be the witness that he's called us to be. We're looking for divine opportunity, powerful prayer that opens the doors. That's the only way to get real opportunities. If we think we're going to do it without prayer, then we're doing it in our own strength, and that's not what God intends. All right, last point I'm going to make with you. James, this is where most of my focus is going to be on because I love James. Me and James are tight. In a good way and a bad way, because he's like that. He tells me what to do, and I argue with him, but I do it anyway because God told him to tell me, you know. Just a little picture, a little piece of it. James chapter 5. As he's closing his letter and he's saying his goodbyes, he says these things. Right here, starting in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then And he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. And finally, in verse 16 through 18, he says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And then he says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's the New American Standard version of that verse, which is not this, it's not the one y'all memorized, but that's, it's the same thing. And then he says, look what he says about Elijah in verse 17 and 18. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And look at this, y'all. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Can y'all imagine? Think about that. Can y'all imagine 3 years and 6 months as an answer to Elijah's prayer? That's 3 years of six and 6 months of Elijah learning how to be humble. Hello? Think about it. If you had that kind of power in your prayer life that you could just say, stop raining, and it won't rain again until you tell it to, you think you wouldn't have a struggle with being humble about that? Walking around like, yeah, I'm the one that made it stop raining. My prayers. Don't say you won't do it, because we all have that temptation, right? And then he's over here, oh, I forgot about that. Let's let it rain again. All the farmers are mad. There's no rain. What's so special about Elijah? What's so special about Elijah? Nothing. He says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What that means, the New American Standard Translation, they're using words to tell you there's nothing special about Elijah. He's a man. He's a person just like you. And then it was right after he says, James says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Well, who is a righteous man? Who's righteous around here? And nobody wants to raise their hand, because we all know we're sinners. And if you've been in our Bible study in Sunday morning, you know that we've learned that man's righteousness doesn't cut the mustard, does it? So what's he talking about? Prayer of a righteous man. He's saying a prayer of a man who in whom the righteousness of God is dwelling is the one who has power in their prayer. You understand? He's saying the prayer, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20 is where Jesus says faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. Faith. Faith in what? In the mustard seed? Faith in the prayer? No, faith in Christ. Faith in Jesus, faith in the power of the Spirit of God that's living in the believer. It's God's righteousness living in us, y'all. And if it's God's righteousness, the Holy Spirit living in us that's leading our prayer life and giving us words to lift up to God about all of our concerns and the mission, that's the prayer that makes it stop raining for 3 years and 6 months. You understand? You and I, we're just like Elijah. We're just people. We're human beings just like he was. So how is it that he's so special that he could say a prayer and it would stop raining for 3 years and 6 months? It's because he was in God's righteousness. Because he believed God. You know what that tells me? That tells me that my prayers and your prayers can be just as powerful. And look, don't get carried away, y'all. Praise the Lord for it, but don't get carried away thinking, oh, I'm going to make it stop raining just to check this out. No. Because the Spirit of God wouldn't ever lead you to do it, would he? You know, since we moved, my wife and I moved over here with y'all, that whole mustard seed moving mountains faith got a little deeper for me. Because now I can look around just about anywhere we live, I can see mountains. And we've been here, going on 8 years, at the, we're 7 and a half at this point. We're approaching the 8 year runway. And about 3 or 4 years in, I realized one day I'm driving down the road and I realized that I stopped noticing the mountains as much as I did when I first came here. I got used to it. I got used to the way things look around here. And every now and then I'll be somewhere and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's a good view right there. So I'm still noticing it, but I'm living my life. I'm going about my business. I'm doing what I do. And suddenly it's almost as if the mountains got flat on me in my mind. But they didn't. I just stopped paying attention. I stopped being alert. I stopped being aware. But I don't think the Lord wants me to do that. I don't think he wants me to live my life that way. Because if I've stopped being aware of the mountains, which are almost impossible to ignore around here, what else am I ignoring? What else am I not noticing? What else am I not seeing? What else am I so busy that I can't remember to be aware of? And what is the Spirit of God trying to get me to do about it? Because the reality is lost people and hurting people and people who have needs are a very real thing in our life. And if we see that, if we pay attention to it, if we are made aware of it and we're alert to that, we'll realize that they themselves become their own mountain in a way. And if we're saying we're going to do ministry as Christian people, as believers, as a church, we're going to go out and do ministry. We like to use that word. We're going to go do ministry. Well, what does that mean? Right? We're trying to minister to people. We're trying to insert love into people's lives. We're trying to insert the truth into people's lives. We're trying to let God have his way with them in their lives, at their time of need, in their time where they are in trouble and don't even know it sometimes. Right? That's what we do. That's the mission. That's the mountain that without Christ in our lives, we could never move. Without the Spirit of God alive and well, we would never put a dent in those mountains. But when we talk to the one who can, when we talk to God, not just begging him to do something, not just saying, Lord, if it's your will, do this or do that, not just saying, Lord, I don't know what to do, I feel overwhelmed. It's not these defeated type prayers. We're talking with boldness, talk to God. It's like, hey, Lord, look, here's this situation. Here's what we're trying to do. And I know you're about to do something about it. And I try to get my prayer life, and I hope you do too, is, Lord, I know you're going to do something about this. Would it be all right if I can be a part of it? Would it be all right if I can sometimes just witness? As long as I'm standing over here watching you do it, it's amazing. I don't have to be a part of everything, but sometimes I just want to see it. You see? You ever notice that you got friends around the country or wherever your friends live and your family, and they go to different churches and they always having great things going on? And you sit back and it's like, wow, that's amazing what they're doing. They're changing lives over there. Right? It's the same God. Same group of believers. There's nothing different between us and Elijah. There's nothing different between us and any other church around the country that God is using in powerful ways to make a difference in the world. Starts with prayer. Because prayer is the engine that makes it all go. Prayer is the power where we find the power to make it all go, to be a part of what God is already doing. And I'm one that believes that God has been and will continue to do great things here at Oak Grove. I don't think he's ever stopped. Right? I just think that he wants us to come to him with expectation. He wants us to come to him with boldness, saying, Lord, we know that your kingdom is the greatest thing going. We know that you see the mountains all around our community that need to be moved. We know that only you and your Spirit can make it happen. So while you're taking care of our hurts and our sorrows and our losses and our sicknesses and our desires, our stresses, and even our sin, can you lead us in a way that helps us make disciples? Right? You realize that sometimes even repenting of your sins is the witness, part of the witness. How many people do you know think that they don't come to church because they think, because you think you're a Christian, yet you're perfect? Right? It's their problem, but that's what they think. But when they see you get right with the Lord on a regular basis, confess your sins, cry out to the Lord, depend on the Lord, and be genuine about it, but yet be bold in your faith and be confident in who you are in Christ, when they see all that, there's something different. Okay, this must be different. Here's what I think, and I'm gonna be done after this. Here's what I think. I think there are many, many, many people that are desperately looking for what is true about God in this world. And I think there's so many groups of believers who are putting out a poor witness that they're discouraged about it, and they've almost stopped looking for it. Some of them are just coming to the conclusion, well, God must not be a real thing because nobody's ever showed it to me genuinely. And other people are just saying, if these so-called Christian folks can't get it together, then what makes me think I can get it together? That's the mission field now. The mission field now is bringing the truth to the mountain, bringing the truth to the world. I think that was the way it was set up to begin with, don't you think? Go into the world, not the world come into you. All right. I love you and the Lord loves you, but we gotta tap into this power of prayer and unleash this power and continue the mission. It's not something that we gotta start up. It's not something that we gotta figure out how to do. It's something that's been going on since Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. It's never stopped. It's never stopped. We're a part of it. Right? I'm just saying, let's together pray on a regular basis that we would be aware and be alert of what the Lord is doing and be intentional with it. Ask the Lord to help us to be powerful witnesses through prayer. Let's stand together and we'll sing Jesus Paid It All, and we'll move on from there.